Welcome to the Mind Forge. I'm your host, Alex Nova. It's episode 2. What is the mind? All experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind, created by mind. Dhammapada, verse 1 to 2, Buddha. I've said that the mind is our most powerful tool. But what exactly is the mind? We can't see it. We can't touch it. So like anything we can't see or touch, we go to symbols, right, to make sense of it. So let's examine the yogic model. I teach yoga, have for 6-ish years or so. And yoga says, you have consciousness, which is the perceiver. That's you. That's the you that is not the body, right? It is you that exists beyond the body, that divine element. Consciousness is perceiving, it's looking through the mind to experience, to the object. If you had draw a line, consciousness is on the left. You got mind in the middle. You have object or the experience on the end. Think of like sunglass lenses, okay? You put on sunglass lenses, different color lens filters light. The mind is the sunglass. So the mind is between your consciousness and your experience. So that means that the mind is not exclusively in the head brain, okay? Because you're perceiving through all your senses, okay? You also have other large masses of neurons in the body that are brains in their own right, the heart and the gut. In fact, there's meditations that can teach you how to tap into the information coming from the heart brain and the gut brain. There's also, near-death experiences and reports. For example, when someone dies and you've heard reports of them being like seeing their body underneath them. And they're clinically dead on the operating table, but yet they're aware of everything going on in the room, what people are saying. There's all kinds of reports like this. There's a great book called Dying to Be Me. You definitely ought to check that book out. It's about a near-death experience and power of the mind to alter anatomical change in the body. So let's look at a person sitting at a computer desk, okay? You have the person and the computer. That computer is made up of many different types of hardware. If you have, your mouse, your keyboard, your motherboard, which has a hard, you got the hard drive, GPU chips, sound chips, speakers, right? You get the idea. You have software. I can see and I can touch hardware. I can't really see or touch computer software. And in this computer model, the software is just as dependent on the hardware as the hardware is on the software. Defective software, like a virus, for example, can destroy hardware. And that software is nothing without the many different pieces of the hardware that give it life. Likewise, right, your body and your mind exist in a feedback loop where the anatomical landscape of your brains, head, heart, gut, can predispose you to a particular mindset, as well as certain physiological activity. At the same time, the mind retains the ability to control your physiology and create anatomical change. So this is an important part of this relationship between the mind and the body, and the fact that you, the consciousness, that perceiver, ultimately has the ability to control the mind and thus control the body, and that the mind can affect change in the body, and that the body can affect change in the mind. This relationship is one of the many reasons, maybe the key reason, why the mind, I think the mind is our superpower. It is definitely the most powerful tool that we have available. If our mindset is, I think you agree that mindset is key to life. If you go through life with zero self-confidence, you're going to be pretty miserable. You're never going to do the things that you are called to do. And that's like the best case scenario. Okay. Worst case scenario is, you know, you pick it, you pick your fear, and that's probably going to be your reality. Whereas a mindset that has you feeling good about yourself, confident in your abilities, can have you living a much more fulfilled and more often a happier life. So if mindset is something that, you know, the Mind Forge is trying to explain and teach how to modify the mindset, okay? That's the forge part of Mind Forge. So the mind itself, I mentioned that it stands between consciousness and experience. Okay. What exactly is it doing? I said it was like the sunglass that's filtering out certain light waves. The mind is essentially interpreting our experience. And it has other functions, like it's the realm of thoughts, which is a whole nother topic. But the mind is interpreting what we see in reality, what we're experiencing. The interpretation is based on our lived experiences. It's based on our memories. So the mind is taking our experiences, turning them into mental programs or patterns. And it's always waiting to initiate these programs. So these past experiences are memories. In yoga, they're called samskaras. And I'll use a lot of yoga analogies and terms because yoga's been around a long time. And it was, and the Buddha, was one of the first people to really put into paper. People took his writings and put them into paper. The nature of the mind, at least that we know and have access to. He's definitely one of the earliest, if not the earliest, that we have recorded information from. So I'll use a lot of yoga terms and words. But you have these samskaras, okay, past experiences that the mind stores up. Okay, some of them are useful, some aren't too useful. You know, like habits, bias, prejudice, behavior patterns, all of these can fall under the samskara kind of umbrella. Whatever you want to call them, They make or break mindset. Yoga also teaches that the mind's natural state is peaceful and undisturbed, but that the untamed mind is easily corrupted. Also, another example that's given is the untamed mind is the monkey mind. It's always jumping from tree to tree, readily distracted and quick to reaction. In fact, the Buddha said, hard to restrain, unstable is this mind. It flits wherever it wants. Good it is to control the mind. A controlled mind brings happiness. I think we all intuitively know this, right? When your mind is seemingly making its own decisions and doing whatever the heck it wants, we're probably not having a super great time, okay? When your mind is the one leading you around, you're in trouble. And whether or not this happens goes down to your mental framework. The cumulative effect of your lived experiences and whether or not you have made the constant effort to rein them in, to tame your mind. Yoga operates on this principle of attention. Increase the power of attention to facilitate comprehension. Everything is about little mental push-ups. Like if you want to have a big, strong chest and arms, let's say you start doing push-ups. At first, you're not going to be very good at doing push-ups. Let's say eventually you get to where you can do 50 push-ups in a row. Okay? And you just stop practicing. At some point, you're going to go back down and not being able to do any push-ups. So meditation is designed to create opportunities for little mental push-ups to increase your power of attention so that you can rein in your mind so that you can use it to better understand your experience. But if you stop meditating, if you stop doing mental push-ups, eventually your power of attention is going to diminish to where you were before. All right, this is what's meant when the Buddha said, all experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind, and created by mind. We go through life. We experience life. Those experiences get stored into the mind. The cumulative effect of those stored experiences set the tone for our mindset. Sometimes the experience is so strong that it causes an anatomical change in the body itself. For example, someone has experience that is perceived as very traumatic. The head brain may very well create an anatomical change in order to better protect you from trauma in the future. It might increase the gray matter in the amygdala and in order to leave you with a stronger sensitivity to stress, to enact your fight or flight response faster and stronger. Okay, which might be good if you were living in the jungle surrounded by tigers. Might not be so bad if the same system is it used in response to relatively minor experiences, such as public speaking, what clothes you're going to wear to work or school, someone cuts you off in traffic, having to pay bills, playing music, you know, all kinds of, you kind of get the idea of where I'm going with that. So if we're going to go, come back, bring us all the way back to the beginning, where we talk about the mind. What is the mind? Okay. I mean, like I said, we can't see it. We can't touch it. But we are using the mind to make sense of reality. And just like a kid, a little kid growing up, a little kid growing up without any guidance, probably going to grow up into someone that you don't want to be around. The mind needs guidance. We need to understand the nature of our mind, and we got to tell it what to do. Now, the more that we practice this through the art of meditation, the easier it gets. If we want a particular mindset, we have to put in the work to prepare our mind to function in that mindset. It's all up to us. I'm going to continue the last part of those initial verses I read. All experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind, created by mind. Speak or act with a corrupted mind and suffering follows, as the wagon wheel follows the ox. Speak or act with a peaceful mind and happiness follows, like a never departing shadow. Dhammapada, verse 1-2, Buddha. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.